gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Banshee Fall and you want to have a Prance and Hansel all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Nightlinger, what's for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
You're on the High Ground with Craig Flowers.
Hey, good morning, T.Y. Henderson. Sounding good on the B&E. I love that you're producing there. Are we ready?
Oh, we're ready.
Aloha, Z. Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Texans. And everybody getting here to the great state as fast as you possibly can. But remember why you're coming. And remember what you left. And don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states that are great. But there's only one great state.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Live, local, and digital from the banks of 360, 101.9, 104.9, AM 1260, and at hornfmdot.com. Spelling that out for you. You are listening to The High Ground. My name is Craig Flowers. We have not been with you for several weeks. Excited to be back and share with you some great news. Two callers calling in today. That's what callers do, and they call in. And one of them is the head coach for the Georgetown Eagles, Chuck Griffin. Great, another great comeback Thursday night against Glenn. Remarkable story happening right there underneath our noses in Georgetown. And then another caller. Oh, he played second base for the Texas Rangers. Faced Nolan Ryan, in fact, in a simulated game. Frito Fry, talking about some news that's happening in Arlington in November. You parents of baseball players may want to be interested in that. But first and foremost, seated to my right, to your left, creating the mirror effect. 10 combat deployments as a special operations helicopter pilot in both the Navy and the Army, not in that order. He's the pride of East Austin. He's got a hot and cold tub and the world's friendliest Rottweiler. Now, about 8 months old, CJ, well, everybody's talking about him. His name, Jamie Frazier.
Everybody's talking about Jamie Frazier.
Hello, my friend.
What's going on, Colonel?
Hey, way to go. Save the day this morning. Jamie and T.Y. pushing the buttons, as they say up in Schenectady. I'm glad you guys get in there. That took some initiative. That took some heart, Jamie Frazier and T.Y. doing that. I know it doesn't sound much from where you are, but listeners want to know. I mean, we've got some kicks at 11 a.m., and we don't want to hear whatever that was going on there. I mean, it fills the time, but we want to hear live, local, and digital from the pride of East Austin and number 91, the former Chaparral, T.Y. Henderson, who's number pushing 91. Down the buttons for the B&E. You know?
Number 91, long snapper.
Yeah, coming off the edge, too.
Were you coming off the edge as a long snapper?
I did a little bit of everything, Jamie.
Did you play defensive end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And defensive tackle, tight end.
And tight end?
H-back.
Catch a ball? Catch a ball ever?
Yeah, best hands this side of the Mississippi.
Really?
Oh, he can play.
You can ask anybody. You throw it my way.
T.Y., I'm going to catch it. Remind the listeners how much you weighed, T.Y., in high school.
Like 215, 220.
And what are you now?
Like 180.
There you go.
Sopping wet, 180.
Yeah, I lose and gain 10 pounds week to week. Kind of in that mode of life right now.
you're figuring it out. I'm surprised, you know, as you're a future professional gambler and you get to listen to Lee Sterling make his picks every Friday. And for the third week in a row, he picked against that little private school in Fort Worth with 9,400 undergrad students. Picked against him again in there in West by God, Virginia, going up against the Fighting Neil Browns, and everyone's calling it a trap game. You know, there's a couple thoughts there if you're a Longhorn fan. At some point, you want the Horned Frogs to win so that when they come to Austin, they're ranked high enough that it matters and it starts to impact a bowl game for the Longhorns. That's at some point. I mean, at some point, I hear it from Oklahoma fans sometimes. We want Texas to win every game before they, you know, play, you know, in the Red River Shootout. The shootout. Uh-huh. The showdown.
So did you see the news on Archie Manning?
Coming in January to a theater near you.
No. Uh-uh. Decommitted.
Come on.
Yeah, he's going to Ranger Junior College.
You know, it's funny you bring up Ranger because I was talking with Scott Norwood. He's the head coach, the head baseball coach at Ranger. Ranger no longer plays football.
That's why it's such a weird thing that he's going to Ranger.
It's weird. That makes it even weirder. But the on January 14th, Ellis Burks, Skip Johnson, myself, we are going to Ranger College for the first ever first pitch banquet at Ranger Junior College. And it's going to be interesting. We're going to be on stage and talk about our time at Ranger. Well,
famous alumni.
You're going to be happy.
That's right. That's awesome.
Thanks, alumni. And I think Ellis is bringing his wife. He said he always wanted to show his wife where he went to college. He went 1 year.
Well, don't go out in the outfield. They got rattlesnakes out there in the bullpen.
Out in left field, they do. There's rattlesnake nest out there. Ellis built the ball. It's called Ellis Burks Ballpark. And in the library at Ranger College, they have Ellis Island. It has all of his memorabilia. Not all of his, some of his memorabilia. And it's kind of a neat deal. He's never seen it. He's never been there. He lives in Cleveland, plays golf nearly every day, except in the winter in Cleveland, which you cannot do. But anyway, January 14th, tickets available. First pitch banquet in Ranger
up.
College.
That's right.
Well, Jamie Frazier, I was talking to the Chief Texan. They've got a big event coming up, third year anniversary. And what's happening right there in Austin with Chisos Boots, it is a remarkable American story.
It's blowing up.
It truly is. And I'm asked about it now just about wherever I go. And, you know, just 2 years ago, no one asked me about it. But now, wherever I go, wherever I speak, whether it's in East Texas or in Houston, I'm asked about Chisos Boots. And the comparisons are the ones that, you know, I've got New York money that market and you see all the ads and stuff. And there is no comparison, I tell them. There's no comparison. This is a boot for life named after, you know, the Chisos Mountains in West Texas. And the Chief Texan, who's right there in Austin, headquartered it up, has just got a courageous, wonderful, authentic, relentless, and selfless heart to build a boot company the right way, the way it used to be built, with your favorite saying, retired dairy cow leather. They didn't have a choice.
Not much of retirement.
Give up the leather.
Yeah.
And the boots are not only made the right way, it's a boot for life, but it's the most comfortable boot one could ever wear. And I'm going to be there in a couple weeks, and the Chief Texan is going to be in Palestine, Texas, next Tuesday, the 1st of November, at a Ducks Unlimited banquet. This is a huge Ducks Unlimited banquet, and he's going to be there and talk about Chisos Boots. And I'll find out later today, I may have the opportunity to go to that event. You may want to join us, Jamie, if you can. But that gets us to the Chisos Boots morning story.
The morning story.
Sam Heavy G. Ellinger, well, he wore number 4 during his Westlake years. A starter for the Colts tomorrow. Ty Henderson, our producer who pushes the buttons, as they say, it's connected. He wore number 91, as we said earlier. And there was a receiver who Sam Ellinger targeted often, whose name was often called over the PA system under the Friday night lights. His image was projected on the Jumbotron frequently. He wore number 19. Although I was familiar with his name and face, he resembles Adam Scott on the PGA Tour, in fact. I never met number 19 until he was well into his college years. Turns out he was and is more than just a great high school receiver who caught touchdowns from Sam Ellinger. He's a great golfer, hard worker, a commercial real estate up-and-comer in Houston's commercial real estate market, and a young man of character, which matters a great deal to me. Number 4, Sam Ellinger, T.Y. Henderson, number 91, and number 19, remain close friends. The bonds of being a chaparral endear. Last week, number 19 made a big decision, a courageous lifelong decision, in fact. In Fort Worth, Texas, a group of friends, including many chaps, gathered to support number 19. He and I had discussed this decision several months prior. As number 19 waited nervously in a beautiful manicured Fort Worth park, he wore a dark suit with cowboy boots. A car filled with three girls, sisters in fact, pulled up. One of the girls, wearing a black dress, stepped out of the car and was met by number 19. As the car pulled away, the two 25-year-olds were alone. A photographer captured the next few moments from a nearby concealed position. Number 19 handed the young lady some flowers, handed her a card that she read as tears filled her eyes. He knelt a bit awkwardly on one knee and offered a ring. Number 19, Andrew Laycock, and our middle daughter, Annie, will marry May 27th. Miss Beth and I welcome him and his family to ours. But why? Why did he kneel awkwardly? Well, remember the photographer who captured the moment? Her name is Lauren Godby, daughter of Kirk Godby and my TCU baseball teammate and founder of Don't Tell My Wife Stables. Well, as Andrew knelt on his right knee, his right cowboy boot gave way. It fell apart. It absolutely fell apart. And Lauren Godby captured this hilarious moment forever. Next Saturday, Andrew will meet the Chief Texan at Chisos to finally, once and for all, step into a pair of boots that will last him a lifetime. Congratulations, Annie and Andrew, the great chaparral who wore number 19. And thank you, Chisos Boots. And that's the Chisos Boots morning story.
Congratulations to you, Colonel.
Thank you very much. We are proud to have a chaparral in our family.
You're getting them all married off, sir.
I got one more to go, Coach. Yeah.
You're getting good. Miss Beth's getting good wedding planning. She'll just do for a living now.
Oh, I wish there was just leftover, potato salad or, beans from the last wedding that we could kind of repurpose for this next one, but instead I've got to be out on the speaking tour until the last one is married. It doesn't seem fair, Jamie Frazier.
Nothing's fair in this life, sir. Ain't nothing. Chisos is having their third anniversary on the 19th, from November 19th from 4 to 9 p.m. They're going to have Paul Val, Comanche Moon, Cowboy Diplomacy, and it's going to be a blast. It'll be a good time.
It always is a good time. And it's going to be packed. So the Chief Texan encourages, do a rideshare deal because parking is limited over there. But he has created a culture, really, a community. And if you believe the hype, I mean, look, if you look at anybody that wears them, they're not going back.
If you're at all interested, you got to get your tickets now, because on the 19th, and there's only, I don't know how many, but it's limited to, they have a fire code deal where I think it's like 300 people, and that's going to go fast. But you go to cheesehouse.com, it'll give you the lead right into where to get the tickets, but get there. But it's a blast. I always have bring your lawn chair. They're gonna have, they're gonna have an. I don't know if you ever played chicken poop bingo, but they're gonna have they're gonna have that up set up over there.
But can you bring your own chicken?
I guess, I don't know. You can eat the one the winner gets to pick his own chicken. That's right.
you could pack your chicken up like an all cheese diet with some camembert, and then right before you load them off there, just give them a little fiber and release them on the board. Well, we'll be back from the banks of 360. T.Y. Ah, yes, indeed. C'est la vie, you never can tell. You never can tell what's going to happen in the Big 12. My gosh, West by God, Virginia, 11 o'clock kick here in just a little bit against the undefeated Horned Frogs out of Fort Worth. Folks will be watching that game, of course, and wondering what's going to happen. There's a great, you know, there's some great West by God. First of all, it's one of the most beautiful states in the Union. You ever been to West by God, Virginia, Jamie?
Yeah, a lot of times when I was at Charlie West, Charleston, West Virginia, called Charlie West.
It is a remarkable state. I did some training with some special teams out in the mountains of West by God, and oh my goodness, it is a stunning place. I love it. And I'm kind of glad they're kicking at 11 because at night it is not a very friendly place to play an away football game. But a lot of folks are going to be watching Penn State today. I think James Franklin wins this game. I really do. I'm hopeful for that. Little soccer news over at the 40 Acres. Congratulations to them. Did really well, the ladies. And are you tracking them? And, of course, you've got big professional soccer. Football is all the rage now.
I think Ty
has gone Johnny this morning. He's got to be going crazy.
Yeah, Ty went to the first playoff game.
Yeah,
how was it? I mean, that's the first time you went to Q2 Stadium?
Second time. First time not in the supporter section, though. So first time able to sit down in Q2. It was a good time. We were down early, had a cool, you know, awesome comeback, winning PKs.
I don't understand their playoff system because there's two games, right? Playoffs. That's what I heard.
What do you mean?
They
play one. They don't play like a home and home or anything like that.
They don't. They just have one championship
game?
It's
like the NFL. Just think of it as like the NFL playoffs.
Okay. So if they tie, they go to the penalty kicks.
Yes. Okay. So if you're tied at the end of 90 minutes, you go to extra time.
Right.
Which is 30 minutes, two 15-minute halves.
Okay.
And then after that, if you're still tied at the end of that, you go to PKs.
Where are they playing the championship game?
So we're playing tomorrow in LA against LAFC.
Right.
And then Philadelphia and New York Union, or the Philadelphia Union and New York FC are playing against each other. And if New York wins, I think, then the champion, and Austin FC wins, then the championship will be here.
Okay.
So it's, you know, highest seed host championship.
So there's four teams left.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Fascinating. All roads lead to Lubbock, of course. There is a quarterback in Lubbock, though, that everybody ought to be paying attention to. His name's Baron Morton, and they're calling him the Bear Raid. And if you've seen him play, you see something special, something that's really rare. And he is out of Eastland, Texas. He's got just an unbelievable way about him. And we may find that the Bear Raid and Ewers and Archie are some of the most talented, physically talented quarterbacks in the nation. And keep an eye on this kid. He's a freshman, Baron Morton. The Frogs got to face him next Saturday in Fort Worth. And they ought to be terribly concerned about it because Baron Morton is a threat. I mean, I'll tell you who he reminds you of, Peyton Manning. He's that good. But I bring that up because the second, third order effects of a freshman like that coming in and taking over the starting position, insert any university, the yard sale, a.k.a. the portal, is about to be lit. I mean, lit. The next 12 to 24 months, that portal, that yard sale is going to be loaded with extraordinary talent. And a team can get really good, really fast. in the next year or two. In fact, they could, in a team, and I don't know which ones, could end up putting together a national championship team and making a hell of a run next year based on what's going to happen here in the portal. And it's already starting to happen, Jamie. You're starting to see guys go to the portal. They're starting to shop around. You see great players who went in, thought they were going to be part of something special, that just said, yeah, I'm going to go to the portal now. It's a bummer for those of us that, you know, believe in stick-to-itiveness and all that stuff. But
That's how Archie ended up in Ranger Junior College, the portal. Just jumped in.
Archie's going to have not going to have any parking issues.
Ranger. No, yeah, but that's the new landscape of today. I mean, you have NIL deals, and you have the portal options, and it's almost like you're going to have to build a team for 1 year, and then that team's going to fall apart. You have to rebuild. So recruiting's completely changed. Recruiting, it's got to be. I mean, you're no longer just recruiting. You used to be able to recruit like high school and junior colleges. Now you're recruiting everything, everybody in every division. You know, it's crazy.
So I was talking to a Big 12 head coach in baseball recently, and you know, there was a time in the 1970s and 80s, the phrase was, if the big orange phone rang, it was over. Specifically, Cliff Gustafson, who I saw a couple of his former players got to spend time with Coach Gus, and he's such an iconic guy, and always wish him well, and I wished I could see him. But Greg Swindell was with him recently. But there was a time in the 70s and 80s when the big orange phone rang, it was over. You were going to Texas. And Coach Gus could recruit the top talent in the States and just didn't have to start them. They were going to stay. He could recruit the talent and put them on the bench and have an incredible bench and never have to play them. And nowadays, you can't do that. You can't go. You got to pay attention to your twos, your threes, because they're the ones that are going to come up. And if you're not care, if you don't pay attention to them, if you don't care for them, and in this case, some of these guys need to be coddled, sadly. But if you don't know, care, and challenge your number twos and threes, they just go to the yard sale now. Not all of them. But there was a time when the big orange phone rang, it was all over. And look at what happened. You know, the Longhorn baseball team, you just acquired a great talent, number zero, out of TCU. And, you know, this fall ball, he's had an extraordinary fall season so far, and he's going to be a superstar. Well, he was playing for the Horned Frogs just a year ago. So it's you know, when you talk to some of the old school guys, they're like, oh, it's such a disappointment. It's fundamentally changed how coaches have to manage their roster and develop their roster. You better not ignore your number twos and threes if you're counting on them to win. Or you could completely change your coaching philosophy and just go year to year. I'm playing the portal. It's like Ty Henderson, you know, slot machines. I'm playing the portal. I'm gonna get on the craps board, and I'm gonna bet on this and that and put together a team every year that's gonna.
Well, I think you're going to have a hybrid of both those systems. I mean, they are going to play the portal every year, and they're all going to rebuild their
good
team.
Point.
And you're going to, and the guys that are going to be, you know, third string, fourth string, they're not going to be coddled, but the second string guys are going to be coddled because they want to have a backup, a legitimate backup.
Well, does that affect like your ability to build a culture if you're just taking guys that might just be there for a year or two,
sure.
Or are you looking at guys in the portal that have that you look at as a plus to the culture that can in and.
Yeah.
Have leadership.
Well, I don't think you're looking in the portal for leadership. I think you're looking at the portal for gaps. I think you want to keep your, of course you can have a corporate, your own corporate culture, but that usually tends to the guys that are going to be there for their 2 to 3 years at that position. And you see a lot of the guys, I mean, before this, it was happening with the graduate students. You know, they could pick. You're looking for a individual player. I need a wide receiver. I need a running back that's going to fill this gap for a year because I don't have either. I have a whole bunch of freshmen coming in or redshirt freshmen that I have left. I need somebody that's played the position, maybe didn't get the chances that he wanted, and I want him to be a star. So I'm going to bring this guy in as a graduate student. Same kind of thing, just that you're not looking for it. You're looking for a one-year gap. But you still want to build your culture around your first-team guys, and your culture shouldn't change.
I think there will be – great spot on, Jamie. I think there will be some programs that are purely year-to-year portal programs. And then there will be other – and this is going to play itself out in the next two seasons. Then there will be other programs that are developmental. And everything's going to settle, and they're going to, okay, if you want to go to that school, it's you ought to stay 4 years there because they're a developmental school. But this school over here is a portal program. They load it up every year with gap fillers, and they try to make a run, you know, to the top with gap fillers. What's happening in Texas A&M Commerce, by the way, under the direction of Dave Bailiff, is pretty remarkable. That's kind of – he just keeps winning and winning and winning. The first year in Division I – right there in A&M Commerce, they're taking care of business. Anywhere, I think you make a great point. Gap fillers, it's a coaching philosophy, and you better have a plan. You just can't wing it.
Oh, you can wing it, but you ain't gonna last long.
No, yeah. No, I know there are players right now, even in the great state, some well known programs that are. And they'll influence one another. There'll be a group. They won't just leave one, you know, one person. Two. They'll take three or four with them. TCU's benefiting with their tight end number 19.
I always like the stories that pre-internet when some kids would play until they are like 25 or 26 years old and have like 8 years of college football.
Yeah, we had Jamie Price pitcher at a Ranger College. He was like 26. He was dating an English professor, I think. Oh gosh. Well, listen, we got a great caller calling in. The excitement in Georgetown is remarkable under the direction of Coach Chuck Griffin. We'll be back from the banks of 360 with Coach Chuck Griffin.
Views expressed on this program do not reflect those of the Horn or any other sane human being.
I love the nightlife. Grass. I'm too slow for working too fast. I don't do windows, so honey, don't ask. But I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Well, we are pretty good at drinking beer on occasion. Jamie Frazier and I met over a pecan porter, but coming to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, I always remember the Cantina, is the head coach of the Georgetown Eagles. They wear blue and white, celebrating mentally grounded. On the ground, Coach, I saw you doing a little chest bump on Thursday night, is the head coach, Chuck Griffin. Coach Griffin, a great win Thursday night. What a comeback. Tell us about your team.
Man, just so fired up for our kids and our coaches. Our young men are doing a great job, and it was a really good win. The Glen Grizzlies do a good job of keeping the ball and running an excellent little slot T offense, so offensively, the opportunities to score were few and far between. But, man, our coaches had a great plan, and our kids went out and executed really well. So, finished the game with a really good goal line stand. That's always positive, you know, and helping your kids just get faith in themselves and what we're doing. So, it was a tremendous game.
That fourth quarter was pretty special. You've got a community behind you. You always do. Georgetown, such a great community. But the culture of your team that you really work on in the off season, you know, Octavius Bishop and I and perhaps some others have come in there, and you really focused on knowing, caring, and then challenging the Eagles.
Yes, sir. We really spent a lot of time throughout the season and then all through the spring and even in the summer, just taking care of our culture and who we are and kind of, you know, we call it our blue-collar mentality of just developing a mentality that we're going to take care of each other We're going to play for each other and realizing that we have a special community and a special place. So we've got a lot to honor in the way that we play and the way that we can take care of each other on a Thursday or Friday night.
Well, your running back is extraordinary. You've got some depth at that position, but you've been playing with a quarterback this year that you didn't expect out of the gate was going to be the one at this point in the season. And boy, sure am proud of him and what he's been able to do. And we'll get to a little bit more of behind the scenes there in a second, but talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, Noah Boris has really stepped in after Tucker's injury and done a tremendous job. And you know, you're proud to see that as a coach because that's what you want out of your program. We talk about our backups. Their role is to be ready at a moment's notice and be able to play at the same level as the guy that was in front of them. And Noah's done a tremendous job of that. Just growing up as a junior, kind of getting thrust into that spot early, and he's done a tremendous job of. And he's got a great supporting cast, great offensive line, really some good weapons on the outside. And of course, you mentioned our running back Adrian Petter already. So he's got a good cast, and man, he's just been growing up and each week and doing a tremendous job as their quarterback.
Coach, what's it like to have scouts, college scouts, throughout the week on your campus and reaching out to you?
You know, it's really special. It's a good thing. And it's, you know, different throughout the years. It's changed. Yeah, I've talked to the college coaches that come through now, and it's hard to keep up with. Since I've been the head coach, they've enacted the early signing day and then COVID and then the transfer portal. So, man, there's been some major changes in recruiting in the last 3 or 4 years. And so it's always unique, but it's great to have coaches come on campus and see our kids work and see what they do and have an opportunity to go maybe play at the next level.
Of course, Texas High School Coaches Association, you can't say enough about them. Jamie, I'll let you ask a question here about the portal here in a second. Before we do, we do have to talk about your projected starter at the beginning of the season was your son, Tucker
Yes, sir.
Griffin, who had a season ending injury, but not a career ending injury. And his role and responsibility it's a change of mission mentality has been really important. And I was texting with him earlier in the week, and you know, he continues to find a way to prepare as the leader of the scout team, your starters and your twos for each contest each week.
Yeah, it was very disappointing to see that happen in the third game. But, you know, you hate to see all the work that he's put in and the preparation. But it's been pretty unique to see him grow as a person and as a teammate in this last year. And really working with Noah, you know, he is, man, he's Noah's number one fan. And, you know, and he's done a tremendous job helping him prepare, you know, meets with him several times during the week. And then on Friday, he makes him go in on the board and go through the entire play script, everything we're doing. Friday night on the game, or before the game, he'll get out there with Noah and go through the script and make sure he's straight on all his steps and where his reads are and what he's doing on each play. And then, you know, he got some disappointing news. We were hoping we were going to get him back here a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, he's pretty upset, but proud to see him walk out there and decided our scout team needed a really good look at a quarterback and during pass all because there's no contact. He was able to get out there and go throw against our number one defense. So they're getting a really good look of what a 5A starting quarterback looks like. So, you know, as a coach and a dad, it's been disappointing at times and heartbreaking at times, but been really good just to see him grow up as an individual and as a teammate.
And it says a lot about Noah, too, taking that leadership and counsel from a senior, your son, Tucker Griffin, in his new role. And again, it may be season-ending, but not career-ending. Your son has a D2 offer, has an opportunity to play after high school, and I'm sure that others are going to come. And you're raising, Coach, you and Melanie are raising young men of character in on the fields of friendly strife, but also in life. And that's what's most important. And for not only the great state, but for our country. We're in dire need of certain leaders right now, and you're raising great sons of character who will win. Jamie, you want to talk a little bit perhaps about the portal and what it looks like from a high school coach's career?
Not really, because, I mean, that's the other end of the portal. There's going to be, the college level, they're looking at high schools and junior colleges. But, I mean, as a player, as a high school player going someplace, that may not be the place that you – it's such a different changing landscape out there, because these kids are going, do I go to a junior college, do I go to a D2 school, and while I'm there, do I look forward to going, trying to jump ship, going someplace else? These are all things that, when I was playing football, we didn't have. I mean, you could go to a junior college, then strike out trying to get to a better four-year program. But it's just the ability to move around now in college for these high school kids that want to go on farther. It's amazing. It's actually a lot of opportunities. I don't know if they even look at it though.
They do from a standpoint of I think the way it's affected high school football is it's affected the kids that are maybe not Big 12 caliber, that are an FCS school or a Division II. I think it's affected them because there's far less recruiting of high school athletes at that level. Those kids are now falling down to D3 or then sometimes sure. Not playing because there's not an opportunity. Because, when you look at the transfer portal, there were so many kids left in the portal.
Yeah.
So there is so much opportunity for those guys to go get somebody else. I've watched a lot of D2 football on visits and travel this year, and it's kind of unique to see, you see a program and they got 3 5-year guys out there that are all transfers.
Yeah.
That used to not happen. So I think from a high school perspective, or as a dad of somebody who's going to play, you're looking for coaching staffs that want to develop young men, because mm-hmm. I think that's. There's some staffs, and I get it as a coach. Like, hey, I got a job, and I got to win right now. So I'm going to go get the ready players that can come in and help me win. So I think I kind of get it from both perspectives. But it has definitely changed recruiting in the high school for sure.
Fascinating. Coach Chuck Griffin is with us, head coach of the Georgetown Eagles, just doing a remarkable job, not only with the players' coach, but with your staff. Your OC, your DEC, they're really are doing a great job. Really proud of the blue and white there. Listen, I got to tell you, Coach, you cannot chest bump players like that. You only have a handful of reps left on one of those knees. And when I saw you do that, I was like, he knows better. I don't want you to be standing on crutches here in a few weeks when we watch y'all make a run at this deal.
I've tried to stay on the ground, but every once in a while I get a little too excited, and it happened. I've done a pretty good job as I've gotten older of trying to stay on the ground, but I got some young guys that still get up there a good bit, and I couldn't help it the other night. I got pretty excited. One of them was coming toward me.
Well, I saw it. Noted. That's going to cost you a Starbucks coffee at Air It Out this January. Coach Chuck Griffin doing a remarkable job. Thanks for joining us. Jamie, do you have something?
Yeah, Coach, only chest bump the kickers. That's it.
I try to just high-five those guys. They got to stay on the ground for sure. Okay.
We'll be back from the banks of 360 with Jeff Fry. T.Y. Play it, boy. Well, Fort Worth should cross your mind, although the Frogs are playing in West by God, Virginia today, but coming to us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, always remember the Cantina, Jeff Fry from Fort Worth, former Texas Ranger who got a simulated hit off of Nolan Ryan during a simulated game. Jeff Fry.
What's up, boys? Good morning.
Jeff, Jeff, what's going on? What did you think about the game last night? And do you think Houston got over their tips there with the 5-0 start?
Man, it was a great game, wasn't it? I mean, it was. Verlander was dominating the first 3.5 innings, and it's just funny how quick it can change, how quick it can turn, and you know, to me, the key of that whole game was Nick Castellanos' two-out hit when it was 5-0 in the fourth inning. He kind of extended the strike zone and put the ball in play on an awkward swing and knocked in a run. And the next thing you know, a two-run double, and now we got a ball game. So that's, there's some value in putting the ball in play, Jamie Frazier.
All I want to know is what's up with his green shoes. I don't know.
I don't know either. They wear whatever they want.
You make it to the World Series. You do whatever you want. That's right.
That's right. No. You're Bryce Harper.
But I tell you what, you come to Dusty Baker and go, Dusty Baker, what was it, the fourth inning? They're 5-0. And, like, do you think Dusty started feeling comfortable?
Nah, Dusty's been around too long, man. Yeah. He knows his stuff can turn. And, you know, it was just funny that, you know, I'm not a big fan of the interviews in the dugout during the game.
Yeah.
I believe you got plenty of time to ask these guys questions after. And that inning before, Ken Rosenthal talked to Dusty Baker about how great Verlander was and how he had a no-hitter. And the next inning, they scored 3 runs against him.
I just hate that. I mean, I see that, too. I watched the game last night. I was up till, you know, looking for an elusive armadillo in the backyard. So I stayed up late till he showed himself. And I watched the extra inning game, and it was a great ball game. I loved every pitch of it. But the Rosenthal, I could do without that. But I think the fans, Frito, I think some fans enjoy that. But I don't. I tell you, the other thing I want you to comment on is – the Phillies almost gave that away because of their catcher going to one knee in the 10th and advancing the runners from first to second and third. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's that's just all part of the bizarro world of MLB now. It seems like the common sense things we used to do when we played Flowey that are gone now, and it's all based on the numbers and the algorithm and the analytics and all that and stealing strikes. And it almost cost him. And what a strange ending, too, to have, I think it's Aldini's, what's the guy's name, Diaz? He has a very unusual first name, Aldini's Diaz or something. The guy who pinch hit, the last batter, gets hit with a 2-0 pitch, leans mm-hmm. into it. They call it a ball. And then he swings on a 3-0 pitch. Breaking ball.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was unbelievable.
He must not have known it was 3-0. That's all I can think. That he, why else would you swing it when Robertson probably would have walked him if he'd have just stood there like a statue, and he swings at a 3-0 breaking ball and grounds out on the next pitch. I'm thinking he thought the pitch he got hit with was called a strike.
Well, I found it odd that it was 3-0 after that. From just watching, I go, 3-0? How do you get to 3-0 with that? I don't know what that, I started asking what the rule is on that. Is it a no pitch? Is it a strike? I mean, the pitcher was kind of politicking for a strike. He said, I had that ball working towards the strike zone. So
yeah, they could have called it a strike, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Listen, we've got a couple of minutes here, but I do want to share with listeners what we've got going on in Arlington, and I'll let you just talk to it because this is something that's been driven by demand, really. We've got a baseball camp coming up in Arlington.
Yes, sir. November 12th at UTA, University of Texas at Arlington. We have an infield camp with me and Jerry Brown, the governor, we call him. He played in the major leagues for 8 or 9 years, middle infielder. So it's organized by our friend Dave Atkin, who runs the Arlington A's organization, has done that for a long time. Dave's also an associate scout with the Braves. And we put together this infield camp. We've got, I think, 10 to 1:30 or 10 to 1, and then 1:30 to 4:30. We have two groups, 14 and 15, the first group, and then 16 to 18 in the second. And we will be blessed by your presence as well. Talking to some parents about character development and leadership, and also the kids. And I think it's going to be a great camp. We're just basically going to teach these kids the fundamentals of fielding a baseball and how to get your body in the right position and trying to keep it simple.
What about first basemen?
We can teach them too.
Okay, good. Because I got a text last night from, you know, a left-hander who plays first base and pitches and plays some outfield who wanted to know, you know, could he come in there and, you know, and work? Because I think we're just going to focus on you all on the field are going to focus on fundamentals.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I was blessed to have Perry Hill the Gold Glove maker teach me the fundamentals of infield play, and I used to go around the entire infield from first base, second base, shortstop, and third base. So we know a little bit about it, and Jerry is very familiar with that.
How do folks find out information about this November 12th baseball camp at the University of Texas Arlington?
Well, they can go check out my social media stuff, my Twitter, at O3JFry, my Facebook, Instagram. I can also have it posted on your Twitter, Flowey, if that's okay with you, and they can check it out and get all the information they need.
At J. Craig Flowers. Jeff Fry, thank you. I look forward to seeing you in Arlington and trying to get us linked up with Jamie Frazier here in the next few weeks as well. And Dusty Baker, by the way, wants to go fishing in Palestine, believe it or not.
Oh, that'd be awesome. By the way, before I go, I'm going to hog hunting tonight with Ricky Rowe and one Skip Johnson in Warika, Oklahoma. I'll give you the details.
Love it. We'll see you on the high ground. Thanks for listening. Jamie Frazier, I'm Craig Flowers. Repeat the line.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.